Good afternoon. This is the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. Last week, I had the pleasure of working with a group of five middle school students, Bram, Indy, Sierra, Ollie, and Gus, along with peer mentor Blake, during a workshop called Meet the Artisans of Carbondale. Throughout the week, we visited many spots around town to view art and meet the artists behind the work. We went to True Nature and strolled through the gardens, viewed the current exhibit at the launch pad, rode down the artway, played radio games, looked at murals, and did a sound scavenger hunt. We also visited local artist studios, watched them demonstrate their crafts, and give us tours of their workspaces. After learning more about each artist, we talked with them about their inspirations, process, and upcoming projects. It was amazing to talk to musician Natalie Spears in her home studio, visit artist Sarah Yule in her historic jailhouse studio, chat with artist Chris Hassig at Saw, and interview dancers Megan Jansen and Janelle Figgins at the launch pad. We hope you enjoyed this compilation of interviews with artists from our community.
Today we are here in Carbondale at musician Natalie Spears' home studio.
I started out playing piano when I was a kid and picked up upright bass, and everything fell by the wayside in high school. And then when I moved here, my friend Dana said, "I know you used to play upright bass, will you come play with me in this old-time band?" So I started playing with him, and now I play banjo, and I'm a songwriter, and I've put out a couple CDs.
What inspires you to play music and share your voice with the world?
I think for me, it's a way to listen to what's going on inside of me. It's a way to kind of tune in and figure out how I'm feeling and to be able to move that from my inner self into an outward expression.
What do you like the most about being a musician?
I get to travel. I get to meet wonderful people. You know, like you can travel in the airport with a banjo on your back and make 10 friends. People generally, it's sort of like having a dog. It makes you easy to connect with. That's one reason I love playing music. But I also love it as a way, as a lens through which to see the world. For me, it's, you know, I never liked history when I was a kid. In school, it was kind of boring. But as soon as I started playing the banjo, it sort of brought to life history in a cool way for me through the lens of music.
What is your songwriting process and how long does it take usually to write a song?
Oh, gosh, it's kind of all over the place. You know, sometimes like Tennessee, that song I was talking about came to me pretty quickly. I started writing it there, and then I came home and finished it within the space of a week. I have one song that took me 7 years to finish, which I finally finished last year. I just didn't have the experiences yet to finish it yet. And my process is really different. I do what's collecting song seeds, where anytime I have an idea or I'm inspired, I record it on my voice memos on my phone, or I write it down. And then when I'm ready to work on songwriting, I'll come to those ideas and I'll start fleshing them out.
What is the most embarrassing moment you have ever had while performing?
These are such good questions. I think there was one time, you know, oftentimes we have to memorize lots of lyrics when we're performing and playing in front of people. And we were at Steve's Guitars and I completely forgot my line. And I said the F word really loud on stage in front of lots of people.
Why is music so important to you?
Oh, so many reasons. I think probably the biggest reason for me now is my dad. He passed away a few years ago, and music is really one of the biggest gifts that he left me. So for me, it's a continuation of that expression and relationship with him. And his mother was a piano teacher, so I feel like I'm carrying on this lineage of music in my family. And then it also just is such a vehicle for expression for me. Like I've said before, it's helped me build confidence in myself. I used to be really scared to talk and play in front of people, and music has really given me a sense of self and a sense of identity and a community all over this country. I've got friends all over that play music. So,
how can our listeners hear your music and learn more about you?
So people can go to my website, nataliespears.com, and there's links to Spotify and some of my older projects like Pearl and Wood, so that's a good general resource.
We also visited artist Chris Hassig at his studio at Saw in Carbondale.
Hi, my name is Chris Hassig. I'm an artist. I live in Carbondale, and I just moved into Saw. I work in printmaking, drawing, and a little bit of watercolor, a lot of mixed media. And I explore issues of scale and environment and planning and getting into the details of the world and looking at it very closely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your specific art mediums and what drew you to create this type of art?
You know, I started out drawing, so that was a very natural medium because it's very accessible. There's not a huge barrier to getting into drawing. So that was sort of the initial thing that drew me to it. And then that kind of just built on itself, and printmaking was a natural extension. It sort of uses the same techniques of drawing to begin with and then adds other techniques into it.
Where do you draw creative inspiration from?
I would say a lot of inspiration for me just comes from walking around and looking at the world and observing it and observing people and natural and urban environments and really looking closely at things, trying to not see things in black and white manner, but really sort of get into the nuance of the world and explore its complications.
What are the most difficult and most rewarding aspects of having a career as an artist?
I would say the most difficult part of it is that you have to be your own boss and you have to make your own dinner. You know, you have to, nobody's paying you to just do something for them. You are trying to speculatively make something and hope that somebody else wants to buy it or wants to sort of think about the ideas that you're bringing forth. And so that can be difficult. It's also very rewarding because you know, you are your own person sort of more. But yeah, I would say just remaining sort of the perseverance and grit. You know, I've been making art for 10 years now, and it can be very hard to maintain your motivation constantly in the face of, you know, setbacks and getting certain exhibitions or not or whatever, and trying to make a living for yourself.
Why do you think art is an important part of our community?
I really believe that is really, to me, what makes the Roaring Fork Valley a lot special compared to a lot of other rural locations nearby and stuff, is we have a very rich and flowering art environment, and that all adds to this cultural feeling that is, to me, is a really a great thing, because we're sort of creating, one of my mentors and great thinkers that I always admired, is this man, Randy Udall. He was an energy thinker and trying to make a human culture and a human environment that adequately reflects and honors the natural beauty that we have in our landscape.
Do you have any advice for young artists that want to start a career in this field?
Make stuff as much as you possibly can. It takes grit and perseverance and sort of cultivation of a unique vision to try to say something to your art audience that is unique and resonates with them.
Are you working on any upcoming projects that you would like to share with our listeners?
I sort of have a bunch of projects that are in continuous motion. And I would say at the current moment, that's what I'm most focused on, is just continuing explorations in sort of abstract atmospheric drawings. And then also I'm really, really passionate and interested in planning in the realistic world in our valley as well. And think about how we make better decisions about how we use our land around here and stuff like that. So sort of a little bit of interchange between the real world and the fantasy world. I don't know.
How can our listeners view your art and learn more about you?
I have a website, chrishassig.com. That's chrishassig.com. You can check that out. You can also come by Saw and talk to me here. You can also talk to my gallery in Denver, Walker Fine Art.
Today we are visiting artist Sarah Ewell at her studio in historic Carbondale Jailhouse. She has graciously opened her studio for us to a tour.
My name is Sarah Ewell, and I'm from the East Coast, outside of Philadelphia, but I've lived in Carbondale for almost 10 years now. I've always thought of myself as an artist, but I didn't really start doing art as my job until I was about 30. And so now I've been doing art of all kinds for almost 10 years. I don't want to do the math and know how old I'm getting, but I really love being creative and always finding new ways to be creative. I love painting with watercolor and telling stories about protecting the earth.
Can you tell us a little bit about what kind of art you make and your process?
Sure. So it's kind of always changing, but I really like doing watercolor painting. On top of the watercolor painting, finish it with line work with an ink pen. But maybe more important than the type of medium that I use is the story that I'm telling. So for me, the inspiration also comes from, what do I have to say by making this piece of art? And how will it help people feel connected to nature or to each other, or even just feel curious themselves to ask their own questions?
Why do you think art is an important part of our community?
I think that art is a way that we express ourselves, and that it's a way that we bring something unique that's inside of each one of us to each other, and how we share ourselves with the community. And so I think that art, making art, inspires other people to make art and to share themselves and to share the thoughts and ideas that they have. And I think that whenever we can be open to listening to other people's stories and ideas and creative forms of expression, we just have a richer experience, and we get to experience more connection and more sense of community and awe and inspiration.
In what ways can art be a form of activism?
I think that art is just one of the most ancient forms of storytelling. And so activism is just storytelling about something that you believe in. And if you believe in protecting the earth, for example, which is something that I really believe in, art is a tool that makes people not only hear your message, but feel a sense of connection, or maybe even question or wonder why you're saying this thing. Why is this so important to you that you are so passionate that you had to make a painting about it, or that you had to write a song about it? And so art is a great way to engage people in questions and values and beliefs.
How does making art contribute to your own mental wellness and wellness in our community?
So making art, in just being creative in general, is a way to get to know yourself. And so I think that the more we work at getting to know ourselves, and if we're vulnerable enough to share who we are with someone else, then we are doing something that's good for us, that makes us feel like we are a part of something bigger. And so for me, sharing myself with my community or with my friends through making art is a way of feeling connected to other people and to something bigger than myself.
Are you working on any upcoming projects that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes, I just finished something really cool here, right here in Carbondale. I painted a mural that is just got hung up. It was on a big, huge canvas, and it was just hung up. It's just across from Steve's Guitar and Senor Taco Show. And the mural is about living your life and coming out of this time where we had to be really isolated and now feeling connected and doing what we want out in the world again.
How can our listeners see your art and learn about your projects?
Well, you can always stop by the jailhouse if you see the door open. I'm not here on any specific schedule, but if you see the door to the jailhouse open, you can stop by. You can also look on my website, which is just my name, sarayule.com, and you can come and talk to me or write me an email or give me a call and we could get together. I would love to make something for you or make a time to invite you to the jailhouse.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Andy Zenke Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. Last week, we ran a youth radio workshop called Meet the Artisans of Carbondale. We talked to many local artists about what inspires them, their creative process, and what they are currently working on. Stay tuned to hear our conversations with dancers Megan Jansen and Janelle Figgins. But first, we also went around town and asked a bunch of different people about why they think the arts are an important part of our community. Here are some of their answers.
I'm actually sitting in the park right now, sewing patches and making art. I think creative expression is who you are, and so you should keep creating and making art because ultimately that's what's going to make you happy in life.
With art comes creativity, and creativity and artwork is a way to express yourself and express different beautiful things.
Well, I think artwork is something so important. I grew up with a mother as an artist, and that was her career. So I got to see beautiful things made, but I also got to see how creativity can play such an important role in her life.
I think they're important because art requires passion and expression, and I think that when you do that, you let your light shine, and doing that gives permission for people to do the same.
They let people express themselves and come up with things that are tangible, but can promote almost intangible feelings, and just express themselves in ways that you can't in just traditional stuff. So it lets you use different skills and a lot of times also work with other people that you might not meet otherwise.
I think the arts are a really important part of our community because it brings people together and it makes people happy and it inspires people and gets people excited about things and excited about life.
I think arts are an important part of any community because it is the way that a community expresses itself and it makes a community more vibrant. It also brings community together, and in my opinion, it's the glue that holds together healthy communities.
Here at KD&K, we do more audio art, and that definitely connects people. The people who are here creating it get to connect with the people who are listening.
I think it shows the personality of the town, and it also reflects the values of the town. Artists are pretty infamous for taking a look at what people don't really talk about. And I think that the artists here in Carbondale, or the artists that are featured here, are really good at doing that.
It's very simple. I think art is an important part of the community because it keeps us connected to one another and it allows us to express ourselves. And especially in this challenging time that we're emerging out of, it allows us to engage with the community and practice mental wellness and practice being connected to each other after being apart from one another.
Arts are an important part of all human beings on Earth because we all have a way of expressing ourselves, and it's a really important way to connect.
Today we are speaking with Megan Jansen, the Director of Dance Initiative, and dancer Janelle Figgins. Thank you both for being here.
What inspired you to get in the field of dance?
This is Megan. I started dancing basically as soon as I could walk. Part of my upbringing in my hometown of Ashland, Oregon, was going to ballet in the park every summer. We would go watch the ballerinas, and it was free, and it was just a part of my childhood that I will never forget, and it really inspired me to start looking into dance and taking ballet and modern and all different kinds.
Why do you think the arts are an important part of our community?
I believe that art is healing. And honestly, really necessary for every community. We all need shelter, we all need food, we all need air, we all need water, and I believe we all need art. It's a way that humans get to express themselves, but also groups of humans and communities of humans can express themselves. And whatever is happening at the time becomes documented or memorialized through art in a very unique way that maybe just writing in the history book wouldn't do.
How does dance contribute to your own mental health or mental wellness and wellness in our community?
Dance is one of the main facets of my mental health. As I was saying before, I think that our bodies experience things a little bit differently than our minds or our like intellects do. And so when you dance, whether it's choreographed or it's just free dance, something is happening that's being processed in a way that is really different than if you were just talking it out or writing it out. It's kind of like music. It has a life of its own and it comes through your body and there's like a cleansing that happens afterwards.
How can our listeners learn more about your organization?
They can go to danceinitiative.org.
I'm Janelle Figgins. I'm from Washington, D.C. I am a former member of Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, Dance Theater of Harlem. I have choreographed and danced and taught internationally across different language barriers and currently teaching and freelancing as a choreographer. That's my general background.
What inspires you to dance and share your creative expression with the world?
My loved ones. I was introduced to dance through my older sister and watching her career. I'm inspired to dance by the ways in which my body receives information and being able to put that information into movement and into communication that a general public can receive. I'm inspired to dance just to bring myself personal joy. It makes me extremely happy to have a self-mastery in that way, but also using that as a form of self-liberation.
What are the most challenging and rewarding aspects of being a dancer?
Maintaining the simple and pure joy of it. I find that with anything that you are extremely passionate about and find joy in, when you start to make that your living, your job, the thing that sustains you, it sometimes compromises the intensity of that joy. And so my process right now, especially since the pandemic and moving on from certain opportunities, I have been focusing on reestablishing that joy outside of dance being my day job. It's a beautiful thing to be able to do what you love, but the work is in keeping it that way, I think. So the most rewarding part of my experience with dance would, one, be being able to travel the world. Again, also the process of finding and refinding and refining who I am as a person through this really beautiful expression, this beautiful art form has been the greatest joy. So just always coming back to myself and redefining who that is through dance.
How can dance be a form of activism?
Letting bodies tell complicated stories. To every side of a story, there's three sides. You know, there's the truth, there's what one person says and another person. And I think with dance and with choreography, I think the ability to let a piece of art, let an interpretation speak for itself, coupled with those dancers' interpretation of an event or something speak for themselves, it all comes together in a beautiful collage of just, opportunity and allowance to let yourself think differently. I think all art is supposed to move you in some way, and I think that's all that activism is just being moved towards something. I think it is totally reflected in the arts that is created in that community and around that community, while also informing that community of differing ideas or ways to feel and ways to think that they wouldn't necessarily have that opportunity to. So I think it definitely challenges communities to think outside of the box. But also lends a ledge for us all to have beautiful conversations.
How do you stay calm while performing?
I stay calm while I perform by channeling this mantra that a mentor and teacher of mine told me a while ago is that you have to have peace on the inside regardless of what's going on outside, especially when there is chaos ensuing. And essentially when you're on stage, there are a lot of moving bodies, a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that you rehearse, but there's always room for something random to happen. So just as in life, when things are moving quickly or there's uncertainty, there's a lot of things that you may have demands with, I think that having peace of mind on the inside, in your heart, gives you the ability to move with grace in everything that you do.
Do you have any advice for young dancers that want to start in this career, in this field?
My advice for young dancers is to find your voice early. I think as dancers, because of the demand of our job, there's a lot of training that is had. But I think the mark of a great dancer is in what they bring personally to the table. And that's in knowing yourself. That's in taking time to find out how you move outside of the technique that you may be training in, and really establishing your own voice early. And though we aren't speaking, you do have your own voice.
How can our listeners learn more about you or see you perform?
Listeners can learn more about me through social media platforms primarily. I have a Instagram handle. It's genevolent.works, and you can find my choreography and classes and things posted there. I will be performing, choreographing in August for the Commotion show coming up. And that's where you can see me perform very soon. And I will also still be offering classes and things at the launch pad and seeing what I can do in the community here through Dance Initiative.
Thank you so much for listening to the Andy Zenke Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. I hope that listening to the stories of local artists in our community inspires you to find time in your own life to create art and share your expression with the world. Thanks for listening and have a great day.